In recent years, the landscape of religious freedom has changed in disturbing ways. The trend is alarming. If we, as Christians, do not start to speak and act, we are approaching a time when preaching the gospel will be illegal. This is not a distant dystopia, but a very real possibility that could unfold in our lifetimes. The idea that pastors could face imprisonment for stepping into the pulpit to preach the Bible seems unthinkable. Yet, it is a scenario that is drawing closer to reality. There was a time when every classroom in this country had a Bible. There was a time when the children of our nation prayed before classes. However, systematically, over the decades, God has been increasingly removed from our society, and we are heading towards a time when preaching the gospel, reading the Bible, or quoting scriptures will be forbidden. Many people have forgotten this fact. Throughout this country, Bibles and prayers were an integral part of our society, but a godless woman had prayer and Bibles removed from schools. Madeline Murray O'Hare, in 1963, played a key role in removing Bible readings and prayer from American public schools. A godless woman managed to achieve this. There is a sentiment among some Christians that we should stay completely out of politics, focusing only on spiritual matters. However, this perspective is dangerously short-sighted. Our faith does not exist in a vacuum separate from the world around us. The way we are governed directly impacts our ability to live and share our beliefs. What if we end up living in a nation that does not allow us to congregate to worship our Lord Jesus Christ? What if we end up living in a nation that does not allow your pastor to preach the Bible on the pretext that the Bible offends some people? What if we end up living in a nation that censors biblical content online, preventing us from spreading the message of Jesus Christ through social media and websites? What if we end up living in a nation that imposes laws against religious counseling, making it illegal for pastors and Christian counselors to provide guidance based on biblical principles? What if we end up living in a nation that prosecutes individuals for practicing their faith openly, leading to a society where Christians must hide their beliefs to avoid legal consequences? We are already seeing clear signs that we are heading in this direction. The growing encroachment on religious expression is evident in various parts of the world, and Western nations, once bastions of religious freedom, are not immune. There have been numerous instances where quoting the Bible or expressing traditional Christian beliefs has been labeled as hate speech. This trajectory suggests a future where even reading a verse from the Bible or passages of Scripture publicly may be considered a criminal act. Consider the implications. A pastor in the pulpit, delivering a sermon that includes a verse from Leviticus or Romans, could be accused of hate speech if the passage is perceived as offensive by modern social standards. The teachings of the Bible on marriage, sexuality, and moral conduct are increasingly at odds with prevailing cultural norms. As society moves away from these biblical principles, the gap between what is legal and what is scriptural continues to widen. We are living in dangerous times, with more and more people becoming immoral. This nation is becoming a more immoral country, a lazy and numb country. Let's look at each of these issues in our nation. An immoral country. Where is our sense of morality? Where is our sense of right and wrong? Promiscuity is praised and rewarded. Living a lifestyle of infidelity or showing indecent images of oneself on the internet is financially rewarded. We are living in an age where people are literally becoming millionaires by showing immoral images and videos of themselves. I am not exaggerating. They are becoming millionaires, receiving life-changing money for immoral behavior. We are living in an age where immorality pays. Immorality is on the rise. It is growing. It is being glorified. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Mark 8:36, KJV. Moreover, we now live in a country where you can order immorality to your door. With the advancement of technology, immorality is just two clicks away. The ease of access to explicit content and the normalization of such behavior reflect a deep moral decline. Services catering to illicit desires can be accessed effortlessly. further deepening the culture of sin and debauchery. The omnipresence of immorality in our daily lives, facilitated by technology, highlights a profound erosion of values. This social shift challenges us to reflect on our moral compass and seek ways to restore a sense of decency and virtue in our communities. The prevalence of such behavior is a stark reminder of the need to reaffirm the importance of moral integrity and spiritual guidance. The Bible turns man away from sin. The Bible turns man away from immorality. Our nation has become increasingly lazy, and the statistics paint a worrying picture. A significant portion of the population is not engaged in work. While many people are diligently seeking employment and facing genuine obstacles, there is also a troubling number of people who are simply lazy and have no desire to work. These people live their lives with outstretched hands, expecting others to support them for no other reason than their own laziness. In the United States, numerous support programs provide financial assistance to those in need, including unemployment benefits, food stamps, and housing aid. While these programs are essential for those truly struggling, they are also exploited by those who prefer to live on handouts rather than earn their living. This dependence on social assistance when not genuinely needed perpetuates a cycle of laziness and entitlement. Laziness and indolence are sins, and as believers, we must recognize this. The Bible describes laziness as wickedness. However, why are we as Christians quick to point out sexual immorality, fornication, heresy, and other sins, but rarely address the sin of laziness? Laziness is a sin, and the Bible is unequivocal about this. In 1 Timothy 5:8, it is written, "But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." This verse highlights the importance of diligence and responsibility. As Christians, we must confront the sin of laziness with the same urgency as other sins. We need to encourage a strong work ethic, self-discipline, and personal responsibility in our families and our nation. Laziness is a sin. Indolence is a sin. But I hesitate to ask, when was the last time you heard a sermon about laziness? We are living in a generation of people who feel entitled and are unwilling to work. They want their lives to be given to them instead of working hard for them. This entitlement mentality is widespread, leading many to expect handouts instead of seeking diligent work and personal responsibility. The Bible has much to say about laziness. Proverbs is especially replete with wisdom about laziness and warnings to the sluggard. Proverbs 13:4 says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." This verse highlights the contrast between the lazy and the diligent. The lazy desire the benefits of hard work without putting in the effort, while the diligent reap the rewards of their labor. Laziness has no place in the Christian life. Proverbs 10:4 warns, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." The Bible constantly encourages diligence and condemns laziness. It teaches that hard work and responsibility are virtues that lead to prosperity and fulfillment. As Christians, we must reject the entitlement mentality and embrace a work ethic that reflects biblical values. We are living in a time when this nation has become increasingly irreverent. There is nothing sacred and holy anymore. There are no more limits that people will not cross. There is no longer fear of God or reverence for Him. This nation is becoming more irreverent each day. There was a time when it was common practice in America, as well as in many other Western countries, for people to take off their hats when passing by a church building. This gesture was a sign of respect for the sacredness of churches and religious buildings. This practice of taking off the hat when passing by a church was tied to a broader cultural context where church buildings were deeply respected and public displays of reverence were more common. Society at large had more fear of God, and the local community respected the local pastor. Over time, these customs have disappeared and are no longer observed today, reflecting broader changes in social norms and attitudes towards biblical and cultural traditions. It is not an exaggeration to say that the average unbelieving man walking down the street 100 years ago had more fear of the Lord than many members of the modern church today. The erosion of reverence for the divine and the sacred has permeated all aspects of society. Places of worship, once revered as holy sanctuaries, are now often treated with casual indifference. This shift is not just a change in social customs, but reflects a deeper spiritual departure. In the past, public displays of respect for God and religious institutions were widespread. People had a profound sense of awe and respect for God. Today, such feelings are rare. The sacred has been desecrated, and reverence for God has diminished. This is evident in the way society treats religious symbols, practices, and institutions. What was once considered sacred is now often the subject of mockery and disdain. I am not exaggerating when I say that this country we live in was one of the greatest nations ever to rise. What made this nation so great was the fear of the Lord, the reverence, the honor, and the respect for the Lord. The Lord blessed this nation abundantly, and America prospered under his blessings. However, this nation is changing. The hand of the Lord is being withdrawn from America because this nation has rejected God. You are witnessing a significant transition in our country. This year is an election year, and the fate of the nation is at stake. You may be an elderly man or woman, and your time on this earth may be short, but your children and grandchildren will have to live in the nation you are leaving for them. This change is profound, impacting all aspects of our society. Our values, once rooted in deep respect for biblical guidance, are being replaced by secular ideologies. The moral fabric of our communities is unraveling as we move away from the principles that unified us as citizens. As citizens, we must recognize the gravity of this moment. Our decisions, especially in this election year, will determine the direction of our nation for generations. It is not just about political power, but the soul of our country. Our legacy is at stake, and we must consider the future we are creating for those who come after us, for your children and grandchildren. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." KJV. In this election year, it is imperative that we raise our voices in prayer for our nation. Let us fervently pray for the healing of this land, for the restoration of unity and justice. Let us pray for the Lord to intervene in the affairs of our country, guiding the hearts and minds of our leaders and citizens. As we face significant challenges and crucial decisions, our prayers can be a powerful force for positive change. We are at a critical point in history. If we do not rise and act now, we may soon find ourselves in a world where reading the Bible is illegal, where preaching the gospel is prohibited, and where living our faith openly invites persecution. Imagine a nation where pastors are imprisoned simply for proclaiming the word of God, where Christian teachings are labeled as hate speech, and where our children are indoctrinated with values that contradict our faith. The consequences of our inaction are dire. Our religious freedoms are not just at risk, they are under direct attack. If we remain silent, we will be paving the way for an era where the church is silenced, where the Bible is banned, and where the message of the gospel is driven underground. We cannot let this happen. Now is the time to stand firm, to pray fervently, and to act with courage. We commit to being vigilant, to defending our faith, and to ensuring that the legacy we leave is one of faith, hope, and unwavering devotion to the Lord. Our future and the future of our children depend on the choices we make today. Imagine a world consumed by darkness, where the moral fabric of society has completely unraveled, corruption runs rampant, and humanity seems to have lost its way. Imagine a time when evil is not just tolerated but celebrated, and each day brings new horrors that push the boundaries of wickedness further than ever before. This is not a scene from a dystopian novel or a horror movie. This was the reality in the days of Noah. As we delve into the book of Genesis, we discover a time so drenched in depravity that it grieved the very heart of God. People lived without regard for righteousness, indulging in every conceivable sin and ignoring the impending condemnation that loomed over them. It was a time of unprecedented moral decay, where the line between right and wrong was almost erased. The inhabitants of this ancient world continued with their lives, blind to the judgment that was about to befall them. They ate, drank, married, and were given in marriage, living as if nothing could disrupt their corrupt way of life. They were oblivious to the warning signs, to the righteousness preached by Noah, the sole beacon of faith in an ocean of iniquity. Days turned into weeks, weeks into years, and still they paid no heed. Then came the rain, a torrential downpour that not only washed away the filth of their deeds, but the very foundations of their existence. The floodgates of heaven opened, and the waters rose, sweeping the unrepentant in a deluge of divine retribution. It was a cataclysmic end for a world that had forsaken the Almighty God. This chilling story from the past serves as a severe warning for us today. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days preceding the coming of the Son of Man. We live in times that echo those ancient days, where the signs of moral decay and spiritual apathy are all around us. Luke 17:26-27 says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." Imagine a world where moral corruption is so prevalent that it saturates every aspect of society. Such was the world in the days of Noah, where sin was not just rampant, but celebrated. It was not merely about common errors, but sins reaching their zenith, with humanity heading towards total destruction, beyond any hope of recovery. The Bible tells us that this pattern of moral decay will repeat in the end times, but to an even greater degree. We are living in that generation, mirroring the days of Noah, where sin is loved and adored, where sin is celebrated. Throughout human history, countless evils have been committed, but God did not punish every generation for their sinful behavior. This is because God is long-suffering and merciful, not delighting in the destruction of the wicked. In His wisdom, God sometimes chooses to show mercy despite all people sinning and continuing to sin. Only God can determine when a society or nation has reached a critical point of violating His laws, beyond which He will no longer tolerate. It was in God's perfect judgment that He destroyed the world during the days of Noah, allowing it to serve as an example for all humanity. Today, we are witnessing a significant departure from faith, accompanied by a strong delusion sent to those who reject the truth and delight in unrighteousness. This is a deliberate choice, not something imposed on people. Sin and unbelief are becoming increasingly perverse and widespread, readily accepted at all levels of society, from the laws enacted to the lifestyles chosen. Now we have laws that permit sin and push people in the direction of sin. The fear of God has almost vanished, and the moral decline is accelerating rapidly. Did you know that there are websites, real websites, that facilitate married men and women having affairs with each other? Do you understand this? Real websites where a married man can access, find married women on the same site, and have an affair, only to return home to their respective spouses. The days of Noah have arrived. Just as God warned people in the days of Noah about the impending flood, He warns us today about the coming destruction by fire and His impending wrath and judgment. In an immoral society, sin is cushioned and given a soft place to fall. It is diluted and sweetened, no longer seen as the danger and destruction it truly is. Sin is now described as a lifestyle choice, not as sin. Sin is no longer shamed or done in secret. It is celebrated and done openly. See how God viewed the days of Noah. Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." This verse describes our generation. We live in a generation of pleasure seekers, not God seekers. A generation of sin seekers, not righteousness seekers. Sin hardens hearts and blinds eyes, creating a seared conscience in those who refuse to repent. We are living among a generation full of people with seared consciences, where sin is defended and described as a human right. This makes it difficult for them to return to God or a life of faith. Unbelief manifests in sinful decisions and lifestyles, leading to hearts that do not fear God, making it difficult to hear him when he speaks. When Jesus said, "And as it was in the days of Noah," he was drawing a startling parallel between the ancient world and our current times. In the days of Noah, despite rampant depravity and moral corruption, people continued with their lives as if nothing was wrong. They ate, drank, married, and were given in marriage, oblivious to the impending judgment. They were rooted in their routines, completely unaware of the fate that loomed over them. This was a society that had lost all sense of right and wrong, but continued their lives without thinking of God's judgment. Today, we see a striking resemblance to those times. Our generation is marked by the same kind of moral decay and spiritual apathy. People are living for pleasure, indulging in sin, and ignoring God's warnings. Some individuals are creating accounts on OnlyFans with no respect for God. Some people, after watching this video, will return to their favorite sites featuring immoral content and profane videos without caring about the world. Their consciences are seared. Right now, there are those planning to commit sexual immorality later today, despite knowing it is wrong. They are literally planning to fornicate or commit adultery later today. People today are willing to lose their souls in pursuit of money. All these people know that judgment is coming. They have been warned, but they continue living their normal lives. Their routines are centered around sin, just like in the days of Noah. Our society is immersed in its daily activities, blind to the signs of the times. This scenario reflects our current age. Today, people are living depraved lives, seeking pleasure without regard for God or his judgment. Society continues with its routines, oblivious to the moral and spiritual decay surrounding them. The prevailing attitude is one of indifference to sin and disbelief in divine judgment. Despite numerous signs, people will remain largely unaware and unprepared. They will dismiss, rationalize, or explain away the signs with scientific evidence and other justifications. They will continue living their lives, adapting to societal morality and the laws that govern them. Like sheep, people will follow the spirit of the age unless they follow the spirit of Christ. The cycles of life, summarized by eating and drinking, sowing and reaping, marrying and giving in marriage, are the foundations of life and society and will continue unabated in both eras. The complacency is striking. The people of Noah's day were warned but dismissed Noah's message as irrelevant. They were too caught up in their own lives to heed the call to repentance. Similarly, today many ignore the message of the gospel. They are too busy with their pursuits to consider the reality of sin and its consequences. They continue in their routines, unaware or unconcerned that judgment is imminent. Jesus' comparison serves as a powerful warning. He emphasized that just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. People will be caught off guard, living their lives without thought of God's judgment until it is too late. This warning is meant to awaken us from our complacency and indifference. It is a call to wake up and recognize the seriousness of our spiritual condition. In our current age, we see the same disregard for righteousness and the same pursuit of pleasure. Sin is not only tolerated, but often celebrated. Moral standards are being eroded, and what was once considered depraved is now accepted or even praised. This is a clear reflection of the days of Noah, where people were deeply sinful, but completely unconcerned about it. We must not ignore the parallels. The days of Noah were marked by a total lack of concern for God's impending judgment, and Jesus warned that the end times would be the same. People will continue in their depravity, blind to the catastrophe that approaches. The indifference and moral decay we see today are harbingers of the coming judgment. As we reflect on the world today, it is impossible to ignore the striking similarity to the days of Noah. Isaiah 55:6 implores us, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near." KJV. This verse is a beacon of urgency, a call to immediate action. We are living in the last days, and the time to seek God is now before it is too late. Isaiah's call to seek the Lord while he can be found is a stark reminder that time is running out. The opportunity for repentance is not infinite. Just as the door of the ark closed, sealing the fate of those outside, there will come a time when it will be too late to seek God. The urgency of this message cannot be overstated. We must turn to God now while we still have the chance. The world today is immersed in activities that numb spiritual senses. People are busy with their routines, eating, drinking, marrying, and engaging in various pursuits without thinking about their eternal destiny. This indifference to sin and disbelief in divine judgment is a dangerous path, leading many to destruction. We must awaken from our complacency. The moral and spiritual decay around us is a clear sign that we are living in the last days. God's patience is immense, but it is not infinite. The call to seek the Lord while he can be found is not just a gentle suggestion, it is a desperate plea. We must recognize the seriousness of our spiritual condition and turn to God with all our hearts. Isaiah 55:6 reminds us that God is near and ready to be found by those who seek him sincerely. But this window of opportunity will not remain open forever. The signs of the times are all around us, and the parallels with the days of Noah are undeniable. We must act now, repent, and seek the Lord with urgency. The fate of our souls depends on it. As we look at the world today, we must ask ourselves a sobering question. What are we truly seeking? Are we seeking the Lord, or are we pursuing materialism? Are we seeking the pleasures of this world, or are we dedicating ourselves to God? Are we pursuing money and success, or are we seeking a relationship with our Creator? Isaiah 55:6 exhorts us, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near." This call to action is more relevant now than ever. In our modern society, it is easy to become consumed by the pursuit of material wealth. We are bombarded with messages equating success with financial prosperity, urging us to chase after the latest gadgets, luxury cars, and bigger homes. But in this relentless pursuit of materialism, where does God fit into our lives? Similarly, the pursuit of pleasure can easily become an idol. We seek entertainment, indulgence, and experiences that promise to make us feel good, often at the expense of our spiritual well-being. Whether through social media, streaming services, or various forms of escapism, we find ourselves distracted and distanced from the true source of lasting joy and fulfillment, which is God. Money can also become a false god. While it is necessary for survival and can be used for good, the love of money can lead us astray. Jesus warned us about the dangers of serving two masters. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6:24, KJV. Yet how often do we prioritize our careers, our financial portfolios, and our earthly success over our relationship with God? As we reflect on these questions, we must consider where our hearts are truly aligned. Are we investing our time, energy, and resources in things that will pass away, or are we storing up treasures in heaven? In the days of Noah, people were consumed with their daily lives, blind to the impending judgment. They sought their own desires, indifferent to the call to righteousness. Today, we see a similar pattern. Many are immersed in their routines, chasing after what the world offers, while neglecting their spiritual health and eternal destiny. It is time to re-evaluate our priorities. What are we seeking? Are we seeking a deeper relationship with the Lord, or are we allowing ourselves to be seduced by the temporary and fleeting promises of this world? The call to seek the Lord is urgent. We must turn our hearts to Him, forsaking our idols of materialism, pleasure, and money. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Only in him will we find true fulfillment, peace, and eternal life. The time is now to make a choice. What are you seeking? The Lord or the empty promises of this world?